You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Tony Zicata, Scott Engel, Greg Sussman. We're about to wake somebody up. It was exciting. Florio, are you dialing out here?
I've always wanted to do this.
Sam.
I'm about to do it right now.
Well, I want to hear it ring on the air, please.
Yeah, I'm going to set that up. Give me like 10 seconds.
What the hell is he doing?
Unbelievable.
Down, well,
I don't know what he did during the break.
Yeah.
Like, he knew what we were doing.
He had a news read.
You see how quick.
Scott wrote and read the news
read.
You
see how quick they turn on the producer?
Oh, there he goes. He was quick there. Here we go. People call me an alarm clock. Anyway.
Tim McCullough, the managing editor of RotoExperts.com.
I wonder if he's going to answer. This is crazy and frustrating at the same time. I don't know what's going to happen. Tim must be in a deep sleep.
He's got a cell number.
Hello.
Hello, Tim. Hey! Tim McCullough, good morning.
What's up?
Hey, it's Tim McCullough.
Wake up.
Wake up, Tim.
Timmy.
He's a...
You're on the radio, Tim.
Thank you for the radio. I got that. Thanks, Scott. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Tim, how are you, man?
Oh, I am ripping, man. I am moving along.
Are you awake now?
I'm definitely awake.
Okay. Do you think he saw this number, Tony? He was like, oh, God, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's a great question. I think when you get 844,
what's going on, I think
Tim's just like 72% of America. And I think it's somebody wanting money from him, so he didn't partake in it.
Yeah. Did I lose you already?
No. Oh, is he not hear Tony? Is that what's happening?
I don't hear him either.
You guys don't hear each other.
They should do now.
But now they hear each other? Again, Florio.
Oh, now I hear him.
Now you hear him.
Now I hear him, yeah.
All right. Tim McCullough, I know, you know, before we get to your draft pick, because you're up in the mock, it's clearly why we just called you and woke you up. I kind of like this idea. Corey Parson, you had said previously you wanted to talk to Tim McCullough on the air because you had some issues.
About what?
I don't know. You wanted to tell you. Oh, we're going to have to. The conservative projections.
Oh, yeah, Tim. See? What's up? The projections in the draft kit, I thought they were kind of conservative. Scott told me that you were the guy that were responsible for that. Are you normally conservative in your projections, or you think you were spot on?
Well, let me tell you, I've been doing this now this is my fifth year of doing projections.
Nice.
And every year, it seems as though the place where I tend to, quote unquote, go wrong is with playing time. I always seem to overestimate playing time. And so this year, I thought I'd go nice and easy on playing time, at least for the first round of projections. And let's keep this in mind, okay? What may look conservative now is definitely going to be changing in the coming days as we update those projections. That's the first run of projections you're looking at online there. It's my first estimate of playing time, first estimate of the way things are looking. Depending on what we hear this year about what batting orders are going to look like and how hitters are doing in spring training and what managers are considering doing as far as platoons, those numbers are going to change. But was there somebody? I had somebody call. I actually had somebody contact me and tell me my Eric Barrow projection was way too aggressive.
Eric Barrow?
The first baseman for... Milwaukee.
Eric Timms?
Eric Timms. Yeah.
Oh, Timmy's still sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Eric Barrow's the editor of the Daily News.
Yeah. Oh, she got to sleep.
Hey, see what I got on my mind, right?
Yeah.
Timmy's still sleeping.
Oh, crap.
So that's, you know, again, first run projections. Is there something specific you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, no, we literally just want you to make a pick, honestly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know.
Yeah,
That's my answer.
All right, okay.
Well, when you get around the computer, Tim. Right now, your team, you got LaCroix at catcher.
And I also want to make sure when you make your pick, don't go anywhere because Scott's gonna make his pick.
Then
I'm on
Wi-Fi. So right now,
he gets
Tim,
very frustrated.
You got LaCroix, Doja, Donaldson. Now with the Donaldson pick, Tim, did he slip back to you? You're not worried about this walking boot, this calf strain situation, are you?
Nah, I'm really not. It's early. There's plenty of time. Doesn't bother me.
And you got Carlos. You took Carlos Correa in the first. You got Kyle Schwarber. You know what I mean. So and you got David Price as your lone gun pitcher right now. So you got where you think you might be going over these next two rounds. You know, you already got your catcher locked up. You have one outfielder and you have a three infielders, and you got your boy David Price.
Yeah, I have to start looking at pitching a lot heavier right now. I mean, that's probably where I'm heading in the next couple of rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm not in front of a computer at the moment, so
I can tell you who's at the top of the
queue. Yeah, we'll just make the pick for you, I'm sure we can do.
I don't think you can do that in this right here.
No, only the commissioner has that power.
Who's the commissioner?
Yeah, Waterloo. Am I up on the clock?
Should I call Waterloo?
No, Jimmy, you're on the clock right now. You can get through a computer.
Yeah, you're on the clock, Tim. That's why we watch.
All right, well, listen, I will be back in the office within 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
What the hell is going on this morning,
it's
Tim?
It's unbelievable.
Tim, you drop somebody off to school? You're taking, you're taking somebody to work? What's going on, Tim?
I'm taking my son to work.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I understand.
Now, it's a Tony question, but now you're saying, I know you're taking your son to work, but like, is that like a euphemism to just go to the bathroom? Is that what's happening?
No. It's not a euphemism.
Okay.
My son doesn't drive, so he has to be taking it back and forth to work.
Okay, what does he do, Tim,
reasonable.
For a living?
Can't fight that.
Your son, where does
he's
he
actually,
work?
He works. He's a he works for a computer network company. Actually,
really,
he works on their help. He works on their help desk.
Oh, he's part of the IT team. That's what's up.
Is he American?
Yeah. Oh boy!
There you go, Timmy McCullough. He is the managing editor, RotoExperts.com. He put the entire Exclusive Edge package together.
Oh, good job!
Free
that,
radio when you check out Timmy. What is your favorite article in the package?
One, I'm quite sure it's one that Jake Seeley wrote.
Who's Jake Seeley?
He's the number one ranker, and he'll let you know that.
Yeah, no. Hey, you know what? He can let me know that all he likes. I was number four last year.
Oh, nice job, so, Tim. Look at that. You had two in the top
right
five.
Behind. That's right. So
You don't have a catchy nickname, Tim. That's why no one recognizes you, like the All-In Kid.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
a Christian.
Excuse me, I am the hardest working man in fantasy.
Well, not apparently. There's two mornings in a row.
20 minutes to make a pick.
Two mornings in a row. You ain't been nowhere near the damn draft board, but you're the hardest working man in fantasy.
I'll catch up with you guys in 15 minutes, okay?
All right, Tim.
Timmy, wait, you didn't answer my question, though. What's the best article in this package?
My favorite article?
Yeah, that's true.
I actually love some of the work that Joe Galina did this year.
Oh, Joe Galina name drop.
Joe Galina's articles this spring have been spot on, whether they've been free on the site or in the package. So he's the guy I urge people to take a good look at. He's been doing
Fantasy
really
Jesus.
Nice work.
Fantasy yeah. Jesus, Joe Galina.
I got to be honest, it's not my favorite. My favorite is Tom McFeely because he writes me every day on Facebook. Now, I wasn't his friend, and I mentioned on air, and now and I get three emails every day from this guy. Talking about crush or flush, so that's where you got to go, Tim McCullough. It's all about crush or flush.
Tim,
McFeely's got some really good stuff too. That's
Tim, the obvious follow up question is: what are your least favorite article in the package? Like, what shouldn't you read? If I'm a subscriber, I just bought this. I'm going to check out Crush or Flush. I'm going to check out what Joe Galina has done. I there's a possibility I'll read what Mike Florio wrote, but I can't promise that. What is your least favorite article in this package?
What's my least favorite? I don't have a least favorite article, but I definitely have a least favorite thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
And that rankings themselves, I think they are the most subjective and least helpful thing in fantasy baseball. And some people just live or die by rankings, and I can't understand it. They're a subjective tool that you can use to help as you think about players. But some people literally will have rankings in front of them and make their choices based on those choices, on those rankings. And I think that's the most foolish thing you can do in fantasy baseball.
Well, can you also then make the argument, because you just talked about a moment ago that your projections are, you know, early on and you're a bit conservative with them. Can you make the argument that the projection, your projections are also incredibly subjective?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You could.
Okay.
You can.
All right, well.
You can.
So, but then you kind of made the argument against what you
wrote. There's a difference between projections, I think, and rankings.
Because you're giving numbers.
How do you put? Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're talking about specific numbers now in projections,
right?
In rankings, you're just talking about one player over another with no thought for how those for how their stats are going to really accumulate. As far as I'm concerned, how do you put a pitcher ahead of a hitter? How do you put a Rugi Odor ahead of pick another second baseman, ahead of Neil Walker? You know what I mean? How do you do that? I have my system that I use that uses my projections for this. But
really, what kind of? Let me ask you about this system, Tim. Just like some kind of.
Corey's an app guy for sure.
I mean, yeah, is this some kind of mathematical equation? This some kind of, how do you come up with your? Is this some kind of? Do you take a whole bunch of advanced stats and then spit out some ridiculousness, or do you have what's going on with this?
No, it's not. It's not definitely not advanced stats.
Good.
The system that I use is standing gain points.
What is this called? Standing SGA.
It's like velo.
SGP.
Oh, SGP.
Yeah, I mean, you're assigning value to every cumulative stat and how it will help you in standings. You have to analyze standings data directly from fantasy leagues themselves.
Mm.
You know, how many home runs did it take to win this league? How many RBIs did you need to finish in second place here? And you pump in values according to how those standings played out. And
so this is similar to Joe Pisapia's VPR, or that same, is it like that?
Yeah, and Jake Seeley uses something called X score.
Jake Seeley has X score. Okay.
Yeah.
Corey doesn't believe in any of this kind of stuff.
Do you think that we're getting carried away when people start creating their own stuff and Saab and X score and SGA and SVP and PPV and all of that stuff, Tim? Come on now, Tim, you got to put this package together. You don't need everybody's, different damn projections, analogies and acronyms, do you? It got to be hard enough doing a damn package, but now you got to keep up with acronyms, Tim. Come on, did they pay you enough for
Corey,
this?
Corey doesn't believe in FIP, Tim.
FIP is good during the season. It's not going to help you now.
There you go, Tim.
I mean, really, the difference between a pitcher's FIP and his ERA right now, it doesn't mean a darn thing. But during the course of the season, you're trying to decide who's pitching well, who's not, and it's a good time to take a look at it.
How far are you away from your son's job?
To answer your question about acronyms, the thing is that the advanced stats has always been about the best way to summarize baseball players' skills to help you in fantasy baseball, right? Well, and in baseball, too. I mean, not just fantasy baseball. So, like, Saab.
That's what Jake Seeley created.
That thing he came up with. It's a great little quick way to see if a pitch has been any good in terms of fantasy production. Is it going to tell you the whole story? Absolutely not. You have to put it in context with everything else. And that's the problem with all advanced stats. They all have context around them. Can't look at one or two and make a decision about somebody. Not unless you know other information and can put it all in context.
There you go. Tim McCullough, RotoExperts.com. Heather drops his son off at work. He's going to go make a pick for us. Exclusive Edge package available now. Free radio when you check out. Thank you, Timmy.
Thanks, Greg. Take it easy, guys.
We appreciate it. We come take a break. And I have a question for the gentleman at the desk. You don't want to hear this. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, I want to start here with Scotty. Scotty, Tim McCullough, managing editor of RotoExperts.com. He's normally in charge, right, Scott, of both the exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package and the Fantasy Football package. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Putting it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the physical standpoint, yeah.
If Timmy and so many of the writers play multiple fantasy sports, can it be argued that maybe someone should be in charge of each of these things? Not saying Timmy's doing a poor job, because obviously he's doing a fantastic job, but shouldn't we put someone in charge of the baseball package that maybe just plays baseball, or someone the football package that just plays football? Like, I look to the top of the mountain in a way, right? Matthew Berry, right? Like, Matthew Berry is Mr. Fantasy, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't play baseball anymore because football is his year-round job, and he has to be, and football is obviously much more popular, so he only plays football. Is it fair to say that a expert that only plays one sport is better at that sport than maybe an expert that plays every sport?
I think that would be easy to say initially, and you know, when it comes to football versus baseball, you know, I'm more in charge of the content for football, and Tim is more for baseball. Although we help each other a lot. But then there are people like Jake who work on the package who do both well. I think it depends on, you know, who you talk about. It's like, you know, you look at John Hanson, and you know, he's been known for being very good at just football.
Right.
And Ron Chandler doesn't want to bother with football.
Right.
But then there are other people, you know, that we've known, like Adam Ronis, Tony Shikata, you know, that they do all sports well. So I don't think that I guess it's kind of contract to your players. I don't think that you can really say in one direction either or the other. I really don't. I really do think it depends on who the analyst is. Some people just do one sport and they do it really good. Then you got analysts that do it good all across the board. You know, I've worked with David Ganos, and he was proficient in every single fantasy sport.
Proficient is not exquisite, though. Proficient is good. Like, he's good at every sport. Like, Tony.
All right, Tony plays several sports.
Yes, he does.
And he cashes out in a lot of them.
Yeah.
So there's one example. Dan Dobich is another guy that I knew who would, like, play a lot of sports.
Again, you can name drop as much as you want, but as I'm unbelievable.
Well, I'm giving you examples.
I understand that.
Yeah.
You're naming all these people that are very good.
Yeah.
So you believe that the answer is false, right? Like, that's a false narrative. That if you just play football, you're going to be better than, say, Tony at football.
I would say it's false.
It's a false narrative.
I think somebody like Tony can be just as good as somebody like John Hanson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Tony, where are you on that argument?
I can see people's aspect of it, but I think it's false, because I think what happens now, and something I've learned over the last couple of years, that people are just better fantasy players. And in the instance of Matthew Berry doesn't just do football because he's good at football. Matthew Berry's an entertainer.
Right.
And he knows where the money is. Like, Mike Clay, Tristan Cockcroft would mop him up any day of the week in analysis. And he's not at their level, and he's never done good in leagues that I've ever participated in. And so a lot of these guys are like that. And I think that people are fantasy players now. And I think what the sport is, they know how to go accumulate information. They know how to accumulate statistics. We talk about it time and time again. They know how to put together algorithms and put together spreadsheets that spit out data that is not subjective. And these are the things that are now occupying fantasy sports.
I think it's a great point, Corey, that Tony speaks about here. Is like, it's not, and this actually goes back to the point of a guy like Paul DePodesta going from the Mets to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
In that, it's not about knowing football or knowing baseball or knowing basketball or knowing hockey. It's about the numbers, and it's about analyzation and quantifying, and yeah, that's really what Tony spoke about.
Once you know how to play fantasy sports well, you just know how to play fantasy sports well.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know how to play fantasy sports, you know, good enough to, you know, to do it professionally as we do. But I also do think there's something to the one sport guy. Listen, you could be a jack of all trades and a master of none. The one sport guy has that one sport that to focus on and consistently play and worry about that sport the entire season. You know what I'm saying? And that player should be better than the majority of the rest. The analysis should be better their gameplay should be better than they do everybody else. That's how I look at it. I think you can do all, whatever, but I think the one sport guy should be able to beat you down. Not beat you down, but the one sport guy should have an advantage in his one sport. But it is possible to be proficient at all.
If
proficient and not and excellent is two different things.
100%. 100%.
Bessie DeVos.
But as Tony just said, though, and you kind of made the argument for and that against, is that it's not about being amazing at football. It's just the numbers. And like, I guess I understand the point that a guy that just plays football can stare at football numbers every day, every month. As you and I are looking at baseball numbers, this person can just look at football numbers. But isn't it just more of an algorithm type thing?
I think it's more a labor of love.
More labor of love. Interesting.
Just take for instance, right? I can let John Hansen do all the work. I can let Tristan Cockcroft do all the work that they waited 3 months to do, and I can read it in 2 days.
Oh, yeah. 100%. They do all the work. We just read it. For sure. I don't know.
Proficient. You know, you can be proficient. Now, can you master all of them? It's a handful of guys that can master all of them. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Maybe like...
Very few guys can master all of them.
Very few. Adam. It's less than... Adam is the first name that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean... Yes. That's fair. But... I don't know. Like, would you, Scotty, as a, not an expert, if you're just a reader, right? If you were just a listener or a reader, would you be more likely to listen to the guy that focuses on football 12 months a year? Like, listen to a Joe, I'll use Hansen and Chandler because we know them as a football guy and a baseball guy. If I'm looking at baseball, I feel like I would be more interested in looking at the guy that only talks about baseball. That's literally all he does 12 months a year. I think if I was a reader or a listener or just somebody that is just standard, that's probably what I would do.
I think
people that are great in all the things. But
when you look at things from a common sense perspective,
yes,
you would say that as a default. But when you listen to certain people or read certain people, you realize that they have good analysis in more than one sport. There are people that listen to Jake Steele. He's good in football, and he's good in baseball.
But a guy like Jake Steele, for instance, okay? Jake is good at football, obviously very accurate ranker, very accurate at baseball as well. I mean, number one baseball last year, as we were just told.
Right.
But Jake's also scouting in football right now, right? Like, he's doing scouting. He's tweeting about the Bulls. He's tweeting about Syracuse court storming. Is he stretched too thin in a way?
Well, see,
he's found a way that works for him. You know,
it's having a social life.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue with.
I mean, Matt Berry's doing football, but he's writing a book. He's making a movie.
Right.
He's stretched too thin. Yeah.
So basically, you're saying that Matthew Berry,
mogul.
Who only plays, but maybe we should use Berry. Like, is there a lesser known football analyst that only does football, Corey?
Oh, Mike Clay.
All right, Clay, fine. Right? So Mike Clay,
Joe Dolan.
Fine.
Yeah, big game.
Joe Dolan, Mike Clay. Okay.
Yeah.
So these guys are only do football.
Dolan's a big wrestling guy, though.
So right now.
We're talking sports.
Right now, Tony, Mike Clay. Is he, like, actually doing, looking at fantasy football stuff right now to prepare for next year?
More than likely,
or is he, like, on vacation and be like, screw this.
Mike Clay.
So he is looking at football right now.
Yep. Yeah.
What is he doing right now?
He's getting ready for the draft.
He's probably breaking down film from last year.
He's getting ready for the combine.
He's probably watching some film from last year, too. But outside fantasy, like Omar Kelly covers the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel.
Yep.
You know, it's like are you a beat reporter for fantasy?
Right.
Right now, Omar Kelly, he tweets about film study right now.
Right.
So from a fantasy perspective, you can find an equivalent of that in somebody like a Clay.
And I have giant beat reporters that are tweeting out, like, they're having Q&As and what they think is going to happen during the offseason.
Right. You stay on your beat.
Right.
Is somebody either a beat guy for fantasy?
Does he
just walk the football beat, or, you know, does he cover all sports?
Right.
Yeah. So which you don't get in real sports writing.
But with all that being said, if you're telling me that right now Mike Clay is watching film studies, preparing for the NFL Combine this weekend, right?
He's getting ready for free agency,
getting ready
too.
For free agency. Why wouldn't I listen to Mike Clay then over everybody else?
Because he's boring.
Forget listening to him. Why wouldn't I read Mike Clay's information?
Oh, he does a good job. Nah, he's a beast.
Why would I read Mike Clay's information over somebody that spent the last few months from January through April writing about baseball?
Are you not playing baseball?
Me personally, yes. But when it comes to football
season. So it could be somebody else that's not playing football.
I'll give you a good example then, okay? Can you tell me that you unequivocally would listen to Mike Clay over Adam Ronis? Aren't they at the same level pretty much?
I think so, yes. Me, Greg Sussman, think so, yes. But John Smith here, if I just told you that Adam Ronis is hosting a show every day talking about baseball and basketball right now, and then you have Mike Clay, who is scouting the scouting combine in the same month that you are doing baseball, wouldn't you read Mike Clay?
I don't think people necessarily read or think about it like that. If they see or hear solid analysis, I don't think they're going to break it down like that and say, well, this guy does football. I'd rather listen to him. You know, Fantasy Sport Trade Association surveys have shown, and I know people, that you don't use one source. You use about three on average.
Here's the thing, is that I think we get too caught up in this, and I've had guys that have asked me about this. Like, they would told me that, you know, they would never thought that people would be able to do multiple sports,
right?
And they actually changed their name writing some articles, based on what they were doing fantasy
football
or baseball. Yeah, and that was one of the craziest things that I ever heard. So here's the thing: when people listen to Adam Ronis, they listen to myself. They know that we win in leagues, and we talk about the leagues that we're successful. We have a track record. Plus, we're entertaining, so people follow along. And I think that if I do a show on knitting, I'll get 2,000 people to listen to it, just because those are the people that have listened to me from the day. And they don't really they like the fantasy sports, and that's what we have a common trait. But it's not about winning or losing. It's about being familiar with a guy or a source you trust, so you just go to that guy,
right?
And then you build upon that,
right?
And I think a lot of people look at it as, like I said, it's not about knowing one sport, it's about knowing fantasy, so
sure.
People put the trust in you in that.
Wouldn't it be, I guess what it comes down to then would be if I read Tony Sinkowski.
Like Jake Seeley. Right. Jake Seeley's right. Number one in rankings.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll play him in the league anytime. I don't know he's won any leagues.
But contrary to that, talking about the point you just brought up, if I'm a random player and I purchased the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football package and I read Jake Seeley's articles last year and it won me money in football, I'll go back to me in baseball, right? Like that's kind of that theory. Like, I'm going to go back to Jake in baseball because he just won me in football.
But you might say you might go to him.
How
and
did
take
he win
look.
You any money?
If the people that he recommended led me to winning, is what I'm saying. That's who I read.
What I'm saying is, no. See, this is where I think you're wrong,
okay.
And this is what gets to my point.
Right.
Is that these guys are great at ranking players, but
right.
They don't know how to play the game.
But I'm not playing the game with them. They're greater ranking players, and I'm looking for research. I'm going to start reading their rankings.
Well, if you know that Jake is one of the top rankers, right, and he
yes.
helps you win, maybe you, a week after week, you got a lineup decision, you go to Jake's ranking, is giving you the correct answer 60-75% of the time. You know what I mean? You think back to the course of the season, every time you had a tough lineup decision, didn't know who to put in your flex,
right.
You went to Jake's rankings, and Jake nailed it. You feel what I'm saying? So that could be a way that he can help you win right there.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. But what I'm saying about this, though, is that everybody has a specialty. Like, Jake's got these player rankings. Other people will listen to,
Tony Pauline for draft stuff,
things like that. And I don't think anything, and I say this all the time, that, and Scott hit on a little bit, you never have one source. Like, if you're playing this and you're really hardcore about it, nobody gets stock tips from one guy. Nobody buys a house with one guy's opinion. And if you treat it like that, you get 3-4 guys. So you might use Jake for this.
Right.
And you use, Jeff Manns for something else. Ray Flowers is a guy, another guy. Ray Flowers is one of the top guys in the business. I agree with about half the stuff he says, but it makes sense. He does a great job at it. And I like to read it because I like people that have a difference of opinion.
Yeah, I'm I like that too. I've always been someone that I think we have a tendency, if we wind up liking a guy, like Florio was just telling us, he just picked Carlos Santana. He really likes Carlos Santana. I think we have a tendency here to try to find someone. Not, like, let's say Carlos Santana, Florio finds, Jake Seeley loves Carlos Santana. Let's use Jake as the example again.
Yeah.
Jake Seeley loves Carlos Santana. Florio, are you then going to go try to find someone that doesn't like Carlos Santana? Or are you going to be like, oh, good, the number one ranker likes Carlos Santana. Perfect. I'm done.
No. I mean, it would be cool, like, to be like, oh, all right, yeah, we agree, but if someone, like, if Jake disagrees with something I say, I'm not going to just instantly think Jake is right.
No, but, like, what I'm saying is, you like Carlos Santana, you want to pick him, Jake Seeley says you're wrong, are you looking at other sources because he disagreed with you? And, or if he agreed with you, you would be like, all right, cool, this is obviously right.
No, I think I would look at others and see where... I wouldn't change my opinion on him, but I may look at others to see, like, am I the only one who thinks this way?
Right.
If so, then maybe that could be something like I could wait a little bit longer and get him in a draft or something. I don't think I'm going to let someone else's opinion change the way I think about a player.
But I do think that happens, really, and Tony.
Yeah, I think it even happens with me.
Same. Like,
I do a show every night with Benny, right?
Right.
And both of us have changed each other's opinion every single night about a player.
Absolutely.
Or two. And it happens because you listen. And Scott talks about this all the time. You listen to somebody else, and they present their points, and you're crazy if you don't let it sway you. That means you're hard-headed.
I mean, I sat here. Scott brought it up at the top of the show. I sat here yesterday while Scott told me every insider he speaks to loves Chris Sale. Matt Modica walks in here yesterday. Dude, I love Chris Sale. And I was like, maybe I'm just wrong about this guy. Like, maybe I should be drafting Chris Sale. And I did in his mock draft. Like, I think...
Yeah, it's like the other day, we were playing Shark Tank, right? And I priced Luke Weaver at $5.
Right.
And, you know, then you guys broke it down.
Right.
And Tony told me, you know, get out of his office, etc. And, you know, I rethought it, and I said to myself, you know what? If I had the chance to do it again, I would have priced Luke Weaver at $2.
Right. And then you would have, I think you would have, I mean, that's much I paid for him. And I think you would have had a lot of buyers at $2.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think influencing each other's opinions is good. I think it's healthy in general. Not to be hard headed. And I think ultimately, you guys have brought up, you guys have kind of solved this for me in that you, Tony, you hit it on the head for me in that fantasy in itself is the sport, not fantasy football or baseball or hockey or basketball or et cetera, golf, NASCAR. It's just fantasy. It's just numbers. It's just an algorithm. It's just being able to, I guess, really locate the right numbers and then take them from there. And I'm not going to only look at John Hansen's stuff. I'm also going to look at Tony Zingano's stuff and Corey Parsons' stuff and Scott Engel's stuff. And then I'm going to make an informed decision. Looking just at one of them, whether it's a guy that plays all sports or just football, probably doesn't make me any better. Like, I understand if you were an average player, like an average fantasy player looking for information, you could be like, the same thing you can say to Jake Seeley. It's just, wow, this guy does football 12 months a year. He knows what he's talking about. But you can also make the argument Jake Seeley is the number one ranker in sports.
Scott, a lot of times, too, when we look for, like, football information or baseball information that isn't just hard statistical information, we don't even look at fantasy sites, though. We look at,
right,
like, Pro Football Focus.
Totally.
Which is not just, a fantasy
watch
site.
Or you watch NFL, Edge NFL matchup, and, you know, they point out something on film, and you go, wow, you know, I didn't know that, because I think Corey and I have talked about this, too. And I was talking to somebody else about it. I think it was actually Tim. And, like, football's a little bit different. Like, the way I look at it is you learn the game first and then you apply that to fantasy. I think Corey's good at that, too.
Yeah, and then you look at, like, a guy like, Greg Cosell, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dudes like that this time of year when it comes to football, you know what I mean? Obviously, anybody associated with a draft. My man on ESPN, what's his name, Lou Riddick, he's very good also, so... You know, you got guys like that, but then what we're doing right now, we're in hardcore fantasy baseball, so you know, we're drafting our baseball team.
Yeah, they used to have this show on NFL Network called Playbook, and they don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I used to love it, because you would find things by them breaking down the film that would actually really help your fantasy.
And then you also saw that dude, that former offensive lineman, his pinky, ball dinger, was bent all the way back. It's disgusting.
I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't watch.
Not what I watched it.
I don't watch Matt Harvey throwing 10 pitches in spring training and make a judgment. Take a break. Come back. Pick a team a day. Where are we going? Find out after the break here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. We're going to get to team a day in just 1 second. But I have to ask a selfish question to you guys.
Sure.
So we are in a I'm in my keeper league, right? We got the my draft's coming up next month, and I have the first overall pick. As I told you, I got very, very lucky. I'm excited about that, and I was kind of mocking out in my head what's going to happen, like the guys that are being kept, and like kind of going over who I could get in the second and third round. And I want some pitching there. Like, I'm keeping a whole bunch of hitters. I want some pitching, and I realize that like the best pitcher that's going to get to me at that spot in the second round or third round, arguably could be Cole Hamels. And that means Cole Hamels would be the ace of my staff. And I was like, that's very bad.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I know you are always about, listen, you can win from any spot. You don't really like to make trades. You like to give up too much. I have an ability. Should I be looking to go make a trade now for a pitcher, a better pitcher to keep, knowing that the guys that are going to get to me are not good?
Well, if you're talking a keeper league, you know, it's I'm always open to that.
Okay.
You know, even during, you know, I told you, in my keeper league, I swung a deal to get Anthony Rizzo during the offseason before the draft. So, you know, I'm good with it. If you feel like, I think it's, you know, when you play fantasy for a long time, like, you know, I think, like I said about the other day, you get a natural feel for when you want to make a trade, when you feel comfortable with your team, and kind of like that clock will go off, an alarm inside of you, and you just know how you feel it after you do it for a while, and you know, I think you go by feel there.
So the trade that was offered to me, it's with the guy that has second overall pick. Why is that funny? Tony was laughing. All right.
No.
Okay. So the guy has second overall pick. He offered me, I have Corey Seager. He offered me Corey Seager for Carlos Carrasco and his sixth round pick.
He gives you Carlos Carrasco and his sixth round pick for Corey Seager?
Yes.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do it either.
No.
Okay. All right.
I don't think that Carlos Carrasco is even a big upgrade over Cole Hamels.
Okay.
If he stays healthy, he's an upgrade, but I don't think it's big enough that I would
tell him
up,
to scale back. Know. You're interested in Carrasco, but not at that price.
Okay.
You want Carrasco to be next to Hamels. You know, that's what I would think.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. I appreciate it, guys. Let's get to a team of day here today, which will be the Houston Astros.
Yeah, Houston. Hey, I love Houston. I love the
great
city
offense.
Of Houston. Yeah. Well, might be the best lineup in baseball.
Interesting storylines.
Great offense with Jose Altuve there, of course. Carlos Correa there. And the first guy I'm going to ask you about, George Springer. Would you rather have in 2017, Corey Parson, George Springer or Carlos Beltran?
Oh, you got to give me my son, my man George Springer. The young first, I'm always more than likely, I'm always going to pick the younger player. Now he is going higher in the draft, but here you got a guy right here, double digit home runs, double digit stolen bases, hit 29 last year, scored 116 runs, the forgotten category. So playing in that lineup, he's on pace to put up basically identical numbers to what the back of the baseball card says. Maybe a little less with the RBIs, but yeah, I'm in on George Springer. George Springer is a player I like.
What about you, Tony Zingata?
I like George Springer as well. I think he's been a disappointment batting average-wise, and I think the expectations were a little too high for him coming into the league. But this guy that can hit 20 and 10 stolen bases, have a 260 batting average, you only need a 270 batting average as a team, so you're not that far off from it. It's George Springer. Carlos Beltran's not going to give me any stolen bases. I'm a little concerned, Beltran, if they use him in the outfield, how long does he stay healthy? He looks like he'll start out at DH, but as we talked about earlier in the week, the Aoki situation and getting Evan Gattison, I think is going to make Beltran play some outfield.
Yeah, I definitely go Springer. It's not like he's a prospect anymore. He's, you know, he's 27 years old. Going to turn 28, you know, late in the season.
I don't think people realize that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think people think of Springer as like this upcoming guy.
But he was a four-year college guy, right, at UConn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? He is what he is at this point, and you hope he hits 270, but he'll give you 260. But again, the difference is the speed. You know the pop is there. Look, I give Beltran all the props. You know, okay. 40 years old, you know, he had one of the best seasons of his career last year. But, you know, if anything, I'm going to expect regression when I look at the declining walk rate. He's hitting the ball more on the ground. He's 40 years old, et cetera. You know, give me the guy, you know, hitting a prime age, you know, who still might improve some over a guy where, if anything, like, I might be a little lucky to get that kind of power production again. And if anything, I'm expecting regression. So I definitely go Springer.
All right. So it seems Springer around the board, though, that was an easy one for everybody. As I said, or as we said earlier in the week, we did talk about Evan Gattis, and we were worried about his playing time. So let me start the catcher position. Would you want Evan Gattis, or would you want Brian McCann, Tony? Brian McCann, the trader for this guy, you have to think he's the everyday catcher. I know Evan Gattis is, quote-unquote, ranked earlier, but it does seem like Brian McCann is going to get much more playing time. Which one would you rather have?
I would go with Evan Gattis. The 30 home runs last year, hitting that middle of the lineup, I think he'll end up there again. They brought Brian McCann in, but Brian McCann, just because he looks like a starting catcher, we're talking about a 33-year-old catcher, broke down at how many games that these catchers played last year. He did play 130, and he's played, since 2014, he's played 140, 135, and 130. I think that number gets cut down considerably. There probably 100 games he catches this year. I'll go with Evan Gattis. A better output there.
Corey?
What the hell is Florio doing? He's on the clock. But I'll take Evan Gattis also. You're not going to leave 30 home runs on the bench. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to go Gattis in that one. And Tony mentioned it well. Brian McCann looks like he's a guy that's on the downside of his career. Gattis, you know what I mean, is the play right there. Talent will find its way into the lineup, or at least into the batting order.
Look, Brian McCann is, hit 20 homers, I believe, 9 times in his career, so there's a lot to be said about what he's accomplished. But to Tony's point, he's in an age right now where catchers, especially, they start to decline. He's, you know, he's 33 years old. You know, he's not going to give you as much natural power as Gattis. I have to go Gattis. You know, you're seeing signs of decline with Brian McCann. The strikeout rate, you know, climbed to over 20%. That's the highest of his career last year.
All right. So, again, equal all around the board. One last one for you, then. That's because it's been pretty easy today, I guess. Would you rather have... Let me make sure this is a good one before I ask you. All right, Dallas Keuchel or Lance McCullers? Scotty, we start with you.
This is tough. McCullers got a lot of strikeout potential, and he's going about 10 spots behind Keuchel in the NFBC drafts. Keuchel's about the 36th guy off the board. McCullers is the 46th guy. You looked at Keuchel last year. He wasn't healthy. I think you get back to some more of what you saw 2 years ago. I think I feel safer with Keuchel. I could end up regretting it. You know, like, McCullers has more upside, but he had his own injury issues last year. I think Keuchel bounces back, and I'm going to go Keuchel.
Alrighty. Tony?
I'm not in love with either of these two pitches, but Dallas Keuchel at least. I mean, the guy put together almost Cy Young season, so it's there. I would take a shot on him, but neither one of these guys I'm looking for.
That's executive.
I'm buying to the bounce back, just like the rest of them. But this is a much tougher experiment right here when you look at these two players. I think McCullough does have some upside to his game, you know. But
Tim,
Lance.
Oh, you did McCullough.
McCullers. I'm sorry, oh, okay. Scott. Excuse me. I'm not perfect, Scott.
We're correcting Corey in pronunciations now.
Nah, I'm going with Dallas Keuchel bounce back season.
I like Lance McCullers, guys. I don't think you guys have enough credit. Like, I'm in on this guy. He's still young. He's got, like, whenever he's healthy, he strikes guys out. What, Tony? I got to ask you before the break. What don't you like about McCullers?
The health situation.
Okay.
I'm just concerned about that.
Okay.
I agree with you. He has strikeout potential. If you're going to go for a guy with upside there. But again, we talk about the innings a lot. He pitched 81 innings last year. How much do they let him pitch?
All right. Totally fair point. Totally fair point. All right. I guess, he's one of these guys. We're going to have to see it before we leave it. Come back. Scott will preview the Daytona 500. Get pumped! Daytona weekend. Right away, First in the Morning continues after this. Father and Son NASCAR Hour airs 1 to 2 Saturday afternoons. We'll be on demand this evening if you want to check it out early, because this weekend is the Daytona 500, the biggest race of the year, some say. And I want to take a few minutes and talk about it. Scotty, who is your prediction, my man?
Before that, all of us, Sean Egger will also have his race preview on dailyroto.com tomorrow. But, you know, in terms of predicting it, it's Denny Hamlin, who won one of the qualifying duels last night, is looking to become the first driver since Sterling Marlin in 1994 to win back-to-back Daytona 500s. He's only 9,600 on DraftKings. I think he's a terrific pick. But I'm going to say, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is always a great restrictor plate racer. He's 10,600 on DraftKings, but I think he's worth it. You know, he was in position to win the second duel last night, but he lost the draft and slipped back to six. But after missing 18 races last year at his best kind of track, I think it's going to be storybook. I think Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to win the Daytona 500.
And why is that storybook? Is this his last year?
No, because he missed 18 races last year because of concussion symptoms.
But now he's okay.
And now he's okay, and I think on a restrictor play track, you know, this is the kind of... On restrictor play tracks, I think you always look to Junior, but I think he's going to be worth it this week.
Do you feel like... what about Jimmy Johnson, defending champ?
Yeah, he's... I think he's overpriced. You know, some of the Hendrick cars... Like Junior and Casey Kane, I think are worth it. You know, people are going to look at Jimmy because, you know, he's got a driver rating of just 84.2 here, average running position of 16.2. I just don't think what you're going to spend on him, you know, is going to be worth the return this week. You got to spend $10,000 on him. I wouldn't do that when on DraftKings when I can get Denny Hamlin for $400 less. I can get Joey Logano for $100 less.
All right. Who is an overrated driver this week, Scotty?
I think you go back to Jimmy Johnson, but Kyle Busch, you know, has never won at Daytona, and he's 9,400. You know, he gets into problems sometimes early in the season, too, where he's going to wreck. So, you know, he's probably somebody I'm going to avoid.
Okay. And a sleeper, the obvious follow-up?
I think there's a few of them. You know, when you play at DraftKings and NASCAR Fantasy Live, I think you look for a finishing position, you know, place differential. And Ryan Blaney was running second last night in one of the Can-Am duels, and then he wrecked. So he's going to start 36th, and he's only 7,300. Blaney's somebody I think I have to have in my lineups. But, you know, you look at the other guys that, you know, are restrictor play guys. Austin Dillon, 8,200. He looked good last night. He was actually running second last night before he pushed Hamlin to the win and helped him. He himself lost the draft. He's a Daytona 500 former pole winner. You look at Casey Kane. He's only 7,600. He has the second highest driver rating of 84.3, higher than Jimmy Johnson out of the Hendrick drivers, and he was running well last night too. And he's only 7,600. So you know, there are two other guys. Trevor Bayne is 6,800. He's actually won the Daytona 500 before and has three top 15s.
All right, Scott. Is there any more information?
Fantasy executive. Did you hear that Scott Engel's anti-Johnson?
Fantasy executive went to the bathroom.
My anti what?
Oh, he basically gave up on NASCAR. Like, he disrespected NASCAR that much.
He did.
In the bathroom.
He did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you sound anti Johnson.
Well, you know, some other things to note here. It's like I think, you know, you look a lot back to what happened in these qualifying duels, but practice is very important tomorrow. I think you can look to last night's of results for speed, but you know, as Sean and I were talking about last night, that's during the night. This race is during the day, so the grip, you know, might affect a little bit more of the results. And the track is different at night as during the day, so I think you're gonna have to watch practice results very closely, you know, for those final tune-ups, etc. But you know, I threw out an initial lineup here on DraftKings. I'll probably tweak it. I got it Junior at 10,600, Hamlin at 9,600, Chase Elliott at 9,200, Ryan Blaney at 7,300, Danica Patrick at 6,500, and Trevor Bayne at 6,800. Danica's got three top 15s at Daytona. If Danica's going to run well anywhere, it's going to be a restrictor play track. Her first Daytona 500, she took the pole, and I think, you know, Danica's under some pressure. She's having trouble generating sponsorships. She just lost a sponsor. I think she needs a good showing this week.
Is she a good driver? Is she just not a good driver? Is that possible?
No, but I think a trick to play track, she can give you a very respectable finish for 6,500.
For more fantasy NASCAR information, listen to the Father and Son Fantasy NASCAR Hour tomorrow at 1 p.m., 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and On Demand tonight. When we come back, a look at the night in the NBA last night. DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis debuted next to each other. Find out how it went next.